Well, please take your Bibles and turn again to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, passage read earlier. And while you're turning there, I just want to say that in a few minutes, we will have the chorale present to us an evening of gospel songs. And in light of that, I've asked that the sermon be brief and that it be evangelistic. So I hope that, God helping me, it will be both of those things. I really just have one purpose tonight: to briefly yet urgently plead with you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not tomorrow, not next week, right now. Right now, in the present, in this moment, is the only opportunity that you have to be saved. You must believe now. You can't put it off until tomorrow and hope that everything will be okay. And so, I want to jump right in and give you four reasons tonight why you should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now, tonight. The first is this: you should believe on Jesus Christ right now, because only He can save you from the wrath that's coming. Look with me, please, in verse 10 and 11, 2 Corinthians 5. We read, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men to believe." We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There is no escape. We're all going to face Him in that day. And it will not be you and your family. It will not be you and your friends, mom and dad, your pastors won't be there to speak up for you. It'll simply be you and the risen Christ. And you will give an account of your life to Him. Every thought, every word, every deed, they're all open and naked to Him anyway. Everything will be judged against God's perfect standard of righteousness. Not my standard, not your standard, not someone else's standard. God's standard. And every sin, every transgression, every disobedience will be punished. And the issue in that day, when you stand before Him, it will not be, have you done more good than bad? That's not the issue. It will not be, were you better than most people around you? Were you typically a good person in your own mind? No, the burning question will be, how are your sins going to be dealt with? And if you stand in that day not having believed in the Lord Jesus, every sin that you've committed against God will condemn you to the fiery torments of hell. And you must forever pay for your own sins, locked away in a place where there is no grace and there is no mercy. The presence of God will be there, but it will only be His wrath and His anger poured out against your sins. Contrary to what so many think, hell is not going to be a big party. We're not going to go there and do the ungodly things that we enjoy doing right now. It's not going to be a big orgy. It's not going to be a drinking party. We're not going to live it up and do what we want to do. Hell is more like a solitary confinement. It's like being locked in a fiery furnace with no escape and no hope of ever getting out. There's no pleasure there. There's no happiness, there's no joy, and there never will be. The only thing that is there is pain and weeping and gnashing of teeth torment that goes on and on and on without end. The day of reckoning could come for any of us at any time. You could be called to account without any warning whatsoever. You might be called to account tonight on your way home from church. And I ask you, are you ready? Are you ready for the day when you will give an account to Him? Oh, I plead with you. I plead with you to think about that this evening. Are you prepared to meet the risen Christ and give an account to Him? You see, the only way of escape, the only way that you can escape the judgment that is surely coming upon this whole world is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ now, in this life, while you still have life and breath. Only then will He take the punishment that your sins deserve. There will be no second chance as you stand before Him in judgment. Jesus died upon the cross, bearing the wrath of God, so that everyone who believes in Him would be delivered from the wrath that is coming. And I urge you right now, turn from the sins that are dragging you surely to hell and turn to Jesus Christ. Run into His loving arms as He offers Himself to you so freely and without charge. If you would but cry out to Him, a simple prayer of faith. Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, believe. Help me. Help me to believe on You. Come and rescue me. If you would but cry out to Him with those simple words, He would be your strong deliverer both now and in the day of judgment. He's our only hope. A second reason why you should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now, tonight. You should believe on Him because He loves you and He gave Himself for you. Look at verse 14 and 15 with me. Paul describing the motivation of his ministry, the one thing that motivated him to share the gospel and to spread the good news. He says in verse 14, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again." The love that Jesus has for lost souls that is displayed to us in His cross work compels men to preach the gospel, and it is that very same love that compels men to believe the gospel. It is not just the threat of coming judgment that should drive us to Jesus. The love that Jesus has for our souls is intended to melt our hard hearts and draw us gently and sweetly to Him in saving faith. It would be good for us to ask a couple of questions. Why did the Father send His beloved Son into the world? Why did Jesus willingly die for people who were His stated enemies? Well, the Bible tells us over and over that God has acted to save sinners in Jesus Christ because He loves them. And He needs no other reason. Think of John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in His Son should not perish but have everlasting life." Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her." 1 John 4:9-10, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Romans 5, 8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were sinners, not when we were deserving, not when we were lovable and lovely, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're told in the clearest of language, God demonstrates His great love for sinners in the death of the Son of God. If we were to look at verse 21 of this same chapter, we would read that at the cross, the Father caused the sinless Son to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We stood guilty. We stood condemned. And Jesus, the eternal Son of God who took on flesh, comes into this world, and at the cross He willingly takes our place. And He takes our sin upon His shoulders, and God punishes Him as if He had committed all of those sins, though He remained sinless. He took our place. He took our guilt, He took our sins, and He endured the wrath of God that we had earned so that we could have our sins forgiven, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him, so that we might have reconciliation, peace with God, with whom we once were enemies. This is the undeniable proof of God's love. What happened at the cross proves, if nothing else, that the Father and the Son really do want to be with us. In spite of all of our sins, in spite of all of our failures, God and the Father and the Son are committed that they would have a people to shower their love upon, and that those people would love them in return. The Father gave up the Son, and the Son gave up His life. They both suffered great loss that we cannot comprehend, so that we who were enemies might become the friends of God. This same Jesus who loved us and who gave Himself for us at the cross stands ready this evening to receive you with arms wide open, nail-pierced hands, proving His love for you, ready to forgive, ready to make you righteous, ready to flood your soul with His amazing love. Consider this love. Consider the love of Jesus Christ and how He has displayed it to you in His coming and dying and rising again. Consider the infinite price He paid so that sinners like you and like me might have eternal life. I urge you, don't wait. Receive His love. Receive His salvation. And receive Him, the one who loved you and gave Himself for you, that you might be saved. Well, the third reason why I urge you to believe on the Lord Jesus tonight is you believe on Him because God Himself is pleading with you to be saved. Look at verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Jesus Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And then in chapter 6 and verse 1, again, we then as workers together with Him, we also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. God doesn't speak to us today with an audible voice, but I assure you, He is pleading with you right now. Be reconciled to me through my Son, Jesus Christ. Those of us who stand here and speak to you, we don't speak on our own authority. We speak on behalf of God and of Christ. And as Pastor Andy pled with you this morning, and as I plead with you tonight to believe on Jesus, God Himself is pleading. Come to my Son. Do not delay. My arms are wide open. I'm ready to receive you. Come to me. See, God's not just sitting back saying, well, I have ordained salvation. The elect will surely be saved. No. God is actively seeking and saving His lost sheep. And one of the ways that He tracks us down, one of the ways that He grabs our attention and draws us to Jesus is through an urgent pleading. A begging, if you will, to be saved from the wrath that is to come. To be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. God pleads with us, just like the father in the story this morning went to the older brother, and the Bible says he pleaded with him. Hear me out, my son. Do not do this. Come into my house. Receive my love. We need to understand God doesn't plead with people because He's powerless. Because He's weak, because He can't affect change. He pleads with people because He loves them and He knows that eternity is at stake. If you're not trusting in Christ, your soul stands in jeopardy every moment. Your one breath, one heartbeat, one blink of the eye away from the judgment that's coming. Everlasting destruction could come upon you in an instant. My dear friends, life and death is being set before you right now. Come to Jesus and live, or continue in your sins and die. And my friends, I plead with you, I beg with you on behalf of Jesus Christ, don't sit there idly, choose life. Come to Jesus Christ and live. Come to Him and have your soul made alive. Come to Him. All you who are weary and burdened down with sin, and He promises rest, come to Him, you who thirst, and He will give you living water that you may never die. He pleads with you with arms wide open, ready to receive you, if you would but come to Him. My dear ones, know this, He never saves anyone who will not come to Him. You must come to Jesus if you would be saved. And that's why I'm pleading with you right now. Do not delay. Don't waste time. Don't think, I'll do it later. Believe on Jesus now. That brings us to the fourth and final reason that I want to bring to your attention. You should believe on Jesus now. Because now is the time to be saved. Look again at chapter 6 and verse 2. For He says, that is, God says in the Old Testament in Isaiah 49, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Tonight, every person here has been presented with an opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ. And this passage is calling you, it's urging you, it's pleading with you. Seize the opportunity. Don't let the moment pass by. My dear friends, if you are outside of Christ and you're hearing these words, I urge you to lay hold of this opportunity to reach out and grab it as if your life depended upon it. Because it does. Your whole eternity depends upon how you respond to the message of Jesus Christ. Now, right now, is your chance to call upon the Lord and be saved. Most people in the world never have such an opportunity. Do you know that? Most people will live and they will die and they will go to hell, never once hearing the good news about Jesus. You've received a priceless gift tonight. You may not have yet received Jesus, but you have already received a priceless gift, a rare opportunity to hear the words of life and have someone call you to believe in Jesus Christ. Don't say maybe tomorrow. Don't blow it off nonchalantly. Don't say, well, I'll consider and maybe I'll believe next week. That's the devil's logic. And be assured, it will damn you to hell. If the truth would be known, there's a multitude of people in hell right now who said the very same thing. They were privileged to hear the gospel. When they lived in this world, someone called them to believe and be saved, and they said to themselves, I'll wait for a better time. I'll wait for a more opportune time. I want you to know there will never be a better time to believe the gospel than right now. The fact is, there may never be an opportunity for you to believe the gospel. This may be the last one. Your soul may be required of you tonight. I think often of the rich man that Jesus told the story about, who said, tear down those barns and build bigger ones. I want to store up some more wealth. And the Lord says to him, you fool. You're not considering the need of your soul. And the fact is, this very night it will be required of you, and those barns and those riches will mean nothing, because you will perish in your sins. Don't take anything for granted. Don't think to yourself, I have tomorrow. Seize the opportunity to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ while you are in the land of the living, and while He can be found. Yesterday is gone. You'll never have it back. Tomorrow may not come. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we pray that in this moment you would do that work that only you can do. We pray that sinners here tonight would not simply hear my voice, but they would hear your effectual voice calling out, believe on Jesus. Come to Jesus. Please, O Lord, save sinners here tonight. Magnify your great grace. Lavish them with your great love. Cause many who walked in this place in danger of the fires of hell to leave safe in Jesus. We pray for the glory of His great name. Amen.